Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I am glad that you are joining with me today on a Saturday. I hadn't done a podcast for a few days, and I thought, yeah, I probably ought to today. So it is, goodness, what time is it? It's about 7 o'clock in the morning. I've got some what once was hot tea. I hadn't had any of this for a while, so it is, what is this? It's green tea with ginger and a little bit of sweetener in it. So it tastes good even when it's cold. Well, I'm looking outside this morning out the windows. It's nice and daylight. Have you noticed how soon it's getting daylight these days? I like that. I like the sun. And it's staying light longer in the evening. We are getting closer and closer to spring. And I'm looking forward to that. We've been talking about our garden coming up and starting plants and watching some different videos. And we've ordered some books on starting plants. So, kind of exciting times as winter hopefully draws to a close. I see there's frost and on two of the vehicles' windshields, and there's still ice on my truck that I hadn't cleaned off. I've been using the old farm truck just around here, but there's snow and sleet. We had a lot of thawing yesterday as far as off of buildings, a lot of dripping water. But then it froze up, and let me tell you, it was slick going out and feeding the animals last night. I was walking very carefully, did not want to fall. Falls do not feel good when you're my age. So, yeah, it's good seeing the sun. There's a nice blue sky, and it's kind of warming my heart. We've got a new thermometer outside also. It's one of the large round ones that you put up and you can see from a distance. So it's not the most accurate, but it looks like it's around 20 degrees outside, which compared to the other day when we had, I think, 57 for a high or 58, and it was just so mushy. And everything was waterlogged, and I took the truck out to a fence row, and I made horribly big ruts because I was cutting out some small trees that my preference is to go out there when it's frozen, but it was a nice day, so let's go ahead and do it, and I almost got the four-wheel drive truck stuck. But, walking around in the muck and the mud and the poop and everything else around the animals, that wasn't fun. But then it froze, so we could walk on it again. If we could just go from frozen to warm and dry that fast and just skip the whole mucky part in the middle, that would be good. Well, tell you what, as enjoyable as seeing a blue sky is and breathing in the crisp air, thinking about the things of spring, there's also some other stuff that's weighing on a lot of people's minds, and that's kind of what I wanted to touch base on today. As you all know, Russia invaded Ukraine. And if you want to know why, there's a million people on television that will tell you every possible reason why and their opinions. And I think that's the key thing. It's their opinions. And if they have opinions that are different maybe from other people's opinions, then they get to be on TV. And others, if they have opinions that just reiterate what, you know, the newscasters believe, then they're going to have them on. So, yes, it has taken place. There's a lot of video streaming that has been coming from private citizens that are still able to get cell signal. I'm in many ways surprised that they are able to get cell signal out, because I would think that if a country is going to invade, the first thing you do is, you know, take out command and control, and part of that is communications. And so you would make it, you know, kind of a blackout situation, but they didn't. And I don't think that that is necessarily, oops, we forgot to do that. There's reasons that people have. And again, plenty of people on TV giving every possible reason. But what I want to do is just kind of touch base on, you know, while my thoughts and my prayers and my hopes are for everybody involved over there, that life is preserved, that conflict ends quickly. But I want to focus on you, my listening audience, those of you who are here, where you can go outside and everything is safe unless you fall on ice, that those of you who can still do normal life, you may be having a fair amount of anxiety because one of the words tossed out there frequently is World War III. And those of my generation who grew up through the coldest times of the Cold War, that means just one thing. Those of us who, you know, actually watched the day after when it was live on TV that night, and I was in college in a dorm, and everybody was watching it. Everybody was glued to it. That's kind of what goes into a person's mind from my generation. But what I want to do is a little bit of some of my suggestions on how do you cope with a situation like this that's taking place, that is not over, that is still unfolding, and we don't know exactly which direction it goes. I mean, you could say in one sense, it's either going to de-escalate or it's going to escalate. And if it de-escalates, that would be kind of a good thing. If it escalates, then that could be other problems. And frankly, right now, we don't know. Because reports are that NATO troops are getting close to the Russian border. Now, that could be to simply as a deterrent, saying, we don't know if you're going to cross this border, but you don't want to. Or it could be, you know what, we're going to push back and we're going to cross your border. And that would be, you know, an escalation. So a few thoughts that I have. And the first one is, don't catastrophize. That's a good made-up word that's being used a lot over the past many years in the field of anxiety, is catastrophizing. What does it mean to catastrophize? It means that you are taking a situation to a worst-case scenario, to the worst possible outcome. And the worst possible outcome, you know, I frankly don't believe in the worst possible outcome, because I do believe bad things happen and very bad things happen. But you give me a worst case scenario, I can one up it, just like a poker game. I can raise the ante. And what happens when you catastrophize is it's so bad in your mind that it paralyzes you. Oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I do? And you get paralyzed. It's hard to think. It's hard to decide because you're thinking of the worst case scenario. So you're not any good to yourself or others because you are, you know, it's a kind of a self-imposed crisis that isn't here yet, that hasn't happened to you personally yet. We have not been invaded. We are not going through what other people are going through. And one of the things that can lead to catastrophizing is when you watch the videos that are coming in from Ukraine, and you personalize it. Oh my gosh, what if that was my street? What if that was happening to me? What if I saw this? What if I heard that? What if? Don't do that. It makes things worse. It makes things worse for you. Don't borrow other people's tragedies. Don't borrow other people's traumas. Pray for them. If there's something logically you can do to help a situation, then act on that. But if there isn't, don't sit there and make yourself, in essence, a basket case. Don't catastrophize. Number two, be aware in this kind of a situation, be aware that propaganda exists on all sides. Every side of every conflict throughout history, there is propaganda. Now, what's propaganda? It's either false information or it's bending the truth to manipulate people's behavior. That's what propaganda is. Those of us old enough to remember the Gulf War, we saw a lot of propaganda. There was a guy that, I'm trying to remember what he was called, Baghdad Bob, I think. And he was their minister of communication or whatever when we were, attacking them over the whole Kuwait situation. I can't remember if, I think it was in 2003. I think it was there. And Baghdad Bob would be on TV saying, oh, we have defeated, this unit of the military, they haven't done this. They're reporting this or that, but we are, we have the upper hand. And, it was like our troops were getting ready to go into Baghdad. And he's like saying, nope, everything's fine. Nothing's, no problems. We're whipping their butts. But propaganda occurs on the side of the quote bad guy and the quote good guy. It happens on all sides. So you've got to realize that. And the propaganda is not just what's coming from the official governmental people or military people. News media, they know how to do propaganda. Every news media. Here's what I say. Whenever I'm watching just to keep up on things, I listen for emotion. I listen for emotion. Now, how does emotion come? Not necessarily that the person is scared or they're weeping or they're crying or they're angry or something like that. I listen to the words that they use, because what propaganda does is it uses certain words to change your opinion of something, or to get you to have a very strong emotional reaction, so you're reacting emotionally, not logically. So, for example, each side will make statements about the leader of the other side, whether, about their mental fitness. Have you heard anybody called a madman? About their, their reasoning, their purpose, their goal, and if you hear strong, emotionally charged words, then you better raise an eyebrow and wonder, am I getting accurate information or is this propaganda? And again, propaganda comes all the way around. When you hear a lot of hyperbole, exaggerated statements, that, again, raise an eyebrow to it. Number three, be aware of the situation, but limit your exposure to the news. When I was a kid growing up, we had the Vietnam War going on. And the news was 30 minutes a day. Prior to Vietnam, it was a 15-minute national newscast. When Vietnam started, ramping up, then, the CBS News, Walter Cronkite as an example, it expanded to 30 minutes, where the last 30, half of the time was what was happening with the war. But there was a limit to how much news you could get. Well, now we have how many different news channels that run 24 hours, and there's not 24 hours worth of news. What you get is 2, 3, 4 news stories at the top and the bottom of the hour, and the rest is all opinion. It's bringing on people who share their opinion. Well, it used to be you went to the barber shop or the coffee shop and shared opinion. Now you're told what opinion is. So limit the amount of news. It's very easy, especially on cold winter days, to sit there and just absorb and watch and feel worse about it. So be aware. I'm not saying be ignorant. Don't stick your head in the sand. Don't say what war's going on or what's this or what's... No, be aware, but limit your exposure to the news. Number four, let me make sure my time, what's happening with it. Da-da-da. Hold on. Okay. Number four, think about what's the most likely thing rather than the worst possible thing. You know, in recent days, there have been a variety of different threats being made from both sides. You had different ones that are in NATO that are, you know, making threats. We're going to do this. We're sending this there. We're getting this at the border. And they may be, or they may not. You know, Russia, Putin was saying, you know, making a comment, you know, you wouldn't like it if the space station fell out of orbit, would you? And it's like, wow, that's an interesting threat. Does that mean he's going to do that today? No. What's the most likely thing? The most likely thing is you're going to have insults hurled back and forth. You're going to have some different threats thrown back and forth. Yes, there's nuclear weapons on both sides. But is that what people go to first? No. They work their way up in this kind of situation. There is a uncomfortable benefit to having mutually assured destruction, you know, which is the concept that we've got enough, you know, nuclear weapons to destroy you. You have enough nuclear weapons to destroy us. We both want to live, so we don't want to use. We don't want to open Pandora's box. But we may use it as a threat. We may, you know, have a military parade, or we may have military, you know, actions, and we'll take our ships through disputed waters to show, yes, we claim our right to use this as international water. But the thing is, think about what's most likely to happen, not what's the worst possible. Again, it ties into catastrophizing. So that leads to the question of what is the most likely? What is the most likely? Well, and if you know what's the most likely, you can do something logically and reasonably to adapt to that, because you and I have no influence on how to change it, you know, at the source level. We just have the ability to adapt to it. So, if you haven't noticed, fuel prices have gone up. Why is that? Because you have a major disruption right now to the crude oil situation, to crude oil buying and selling around the world. Russia is a major provider of crude oil. We, as the United States, purchase a very large amount of oil in the hundreds of millions of barrels per year. We buy a lot of oil from Russia. Guess what? We're not going to get any of that oil. So, well, why is the gas prices going up so fast? Well, because they always do, because whenever the next increase comes, a local gas station has to pay for that gas up front. And so if they're selling what they have in stock for the lower price, how are they going to afford the new price? So yes, they increased the price. And here locally between day before yesterday and yesterday, it jumped 20 cents pretty well everywhere in town. So fuel prices are going to be rising. They're going to continue to the point where, you know, there's the possibility, logical, most likely possibility, there could be some fuel shortages. We've had them before. Prices go up, and then if you can't get enough, if there isn't enough in supply, then it's going to be limited. So we do have those kind of things that would likely take place. So what can you do? Well, you may, if you have some gas cans, you may want to fill up a little reserve to have in case, you know, you can't get gas. You've got something that you can use in your tank for like an emergency. You also keep your tanks, you know, filled up. Don't wait for them to get completely empty before you start thinking about, you know, filling up. There's nothing wrong with putting $20 in as opposed to 60 or 80 or 100, you know, depending on what the price is. Another area is food security. You know, you've heard reports about disruptions in food supply in different areas of the country. It's been on the news. It's maybe been on your shelves. Most places you can still get it. I remember visiting my son a few months ago down in Kentucky, and Dollar General's down there were having a hard time getting their regular products. And so there could be some disruptions there. As fuel prices increase, that's going to increase the cost of production. And if there's not enough income from the sale of food-type products to cover all your expenses, then you may have some places not producing the same level of food. When the pandemic hit, a lot, I know this because I know some people in this area who do this, but they have large pork operations. They raise, you know, a few thousand pigs a year. When the pandemic hit, their market radically changed because restaurants were closed, institutions were closed, schools were closed, and people were, you know, that source kind of dried up. And so people were left with having too many pigs. And you can't just let them, you can't just hold on to them because when they get past a certain weight, your big processing plants won't buy them. So a lot of places were either finding alternate sources or were killing their pigs and taking, you know, a loss for that. Well, I know one person who raised a few thousand pigs the year before, but then last year only raised a few hundred. Why? Couldn't have a guarantee market. And so that, you know, when that takes place, whether it's pork or beef or poultry, or, you know, you get into your different vegetable ones down in Florida, they couldn't sell produce. So they were just plowing the food back into the field as green fertilizer. Yeah. So make sure that you're not living hand to mouth when it comes to food. Make sure that you have a stocked pantry, more than just a few days worth. I don't know how long this is going to last. My hunch is it's going to last a little bit longer and probably get a little bit worse. So make sure that you have good supplies. Another one is having cash on hand. It's very convenient not to carry cash and just use your debit card. It's really convenient. I like it. Then I also have a record in my bank account. Oh, I was shopping here. I was shopping there. I can kind of keep track of things. However, there's threats going back and forth on each side in this Ukraine war that one side is threatening the other and vice versa on cyber attacks. I believe it was yesterday, Hillary Clinton was saying that NATO needs to do a cyber attack and private people, you know, who know how to do it should do a cyber attack against Russia. Well, if there's a cyber attack that disrupts Russia, do you think that they're just going to say, oh, I guess that's okay? No, that's a form of warfare. It's electronic warfare. And they're going to do the same thing back here. So if, you know, in last year there was that cyber attack that knocked out a fuel pipeline there in the southeast. I can't remember how long it lasted, but yeah, that was a significant thing. So what happens if banking gets hit? Do you have cash on hand? I'm not saying pull all your cash out of the bank, not saying that at all. But do you have enough that if you couldn't use your debit card, if you couldn't get money from the bank, because everything is electronic, all records are electronic, they don't keep a bit of paper, basically. Do you have enough cash that you could buy food, buy fuel, pay rent, pay, you know, different, your utilities? Do you have enough cash to be able to do that? And then I think, and this may be the biggest one, is don't panic. Don't panic. Develop a plan and work your plan. Think about, and what kind of plan should you have? Think of it as, I need to have an alternative way, an alternative option for things that I normally do. If I normally always get my gas at a particular gas station and that gas station closed, well, I'd have to choose an alternative of getting my gas somewhere else. That's basically what a plan is in this situation, is what is an alternative that you can do? You know, if there's long gas lines, well, maybe my alternative is, I got a few fuel cans, I've got them in the garage, and I've got enough to fill up my tank from my garage if I can't get fuel at a station's in town because of disruptions. If the grocery store has gotten picked over, just like if there was a blizzard coming and the shelves are bare, well, if I have a plan that says I need to have, you know, my pantry stocked, my shelves stocked, have the basic staples rather than, you know, always having everything ready to eat stuff. But, you know, being able to make things from its natural ingredients, then, that's your plan. That is a plan. Just like, you know, if you always use a debit card, having cash on hand is a plan. So think about that in your life. What are alternatives? You know, we live out in the country and we have all our electric lines are up in the air. So when there's a bad storm and tree branches fall, a few years ago, we had a tree in our woods fell and it took out the whole power line that was going along the road. We weren't living here yet, but the neighbor called and said, guess what happened? And, you know, the power company came out and they cut the part of the tree that was on the wires, and they had to put in a new pole and do that kind of stuff. But, you know, we live out here. We have an all-electric house because that's, you know, kind of how it came. And if we lose electricity in the wintertime, that's not a good thing. So our plan B is we have one of those big generators that's hooked up to the house and is propane fed. And so we can go for several days, if need be, you know, running the generator. And if we had to, we could just run it during certain times and make it last longer. So think about alternatives. Maybe you can't put in a big generator. And actually, it's probably too late because they've been on back order for months and months and months. But think about the things that you can do today, tomorrow, to give yourself alternatives. Don't panic. Don't catastrophize. We're all going to get through this. All right, that's it for today. Hope you have a great one. Make the most of the weekend, and we'll catch you next time for a cup of coffee. Bye-bye.